Whether you are halashing for halas or wanting to bri or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bargati. It's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to Essen Fressen. I love the word Essen. It reminds me of my mother, my boba, and just conjures up beautiful warm feelings, which is really what food is all about. So as we're heading for the winter months and think weather's changing and the world is still upside down, we take comfort in what we eat and we take comfort in how we sit around a table with people and talk and chat and share and connect. And that's really the essence to me of what food and catering and flavors are all about. So today we're not going to get too complicated. I have two guests that I'll be talking to, but I want to share some favorites, some winter favorites. I always think of that song, My Favorite Things, and When the Door Slams, and the things that make you feel good when the door slams and the wind blows. And for me, there's nothing better than salad and bread. So I'm going to share two quick and easy recipes just before we get started with the real conversations that I've got chefs on board to share with you today. So this is such a simple Italian ciabatta style bread, and I'm beseeching, please try make it. It sounds so complicated to make bread, but once you're in it and your hands are weaving and kneading, it's just so satisfying, it's so fulfilling, it's so warming, and it's so amazing to serve home-baked bread to your family and friends. So for this recipe, it's so simple. You need 4 cups of flour, 1.5 teaspoons of instant yeast, which is equal to 1 sachet. And again, I'm not fussy with which sachet I use, the green or the Anchor or any of them, the NVP I think it is, whichever's available, whatever I see on the shelves, that's what we buy. 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1¾ cups of warm water, and 1 teaspoon of salt and any flavorings of your choice. You can use crispy onions, you can use seeds. So I always have on hand a handful of seeds. I use pumpkin, sunflower, and poppy seeds mixed together, which I toast sometimes before, but again, you can just toss them into your bread mixture. Or I use rosemary and sea salt, something simple and delicious. People also seem to be loving the onion bread, so I often caramelize onions and combine that with the crispy onions that are readily available at any of the supermarkets, and you can make it delicious. I love to weave the onions into my dough. So what you're going to do is you're going to mix your flour and olive oil and about 395 mils of the warm water and the yeast all together in a bowl. You can mix with a spoon. That's perfectly acceptable. I use a wooden spoon. And cover with cling wrap and leave it to rest in a warm place for about 30 minutes to 45 minutes. You're then going to dissolve 12 grams of salt in 50 mils of warm water and add that to the dough along with your seeds, and you'll mix that again until well combined. At this point, I encourage you to get your hands dirty and mix in the seeds and combine all your doughs. Let it all rest together then for 2 to 4 hours in a warm place. Once it has risen, transfer the dough to a lined baking tray or loaf tin. I always use the parchment paper or baking paper. I use a regular tray that will fit easily into an oven, 30 by 20 or a loaf tin. Don't worry if the dough seems a bit loose and a bit wet. You can just sprinkle a little bit more flour. And you can really create any shape you want. Pop it in the oven and 30 minutes later you have the most delicious homemade bread. For the salad that I'm going to share with you, you know how I love to just take my twist on the good old Mediterranean Israeli style salad. And here's just an easy twist for that. So take 2 cups of strawberries, hulled and halved, of course, and all clean. I take 2 tubs of the cherry tomatoes from any of the supermarkets. And you can use the heirloom tomatoes, you can use the colored tomatoes, the vine tomatoes, and I halve them. To that, I use 1 packet of the baby cucumbers, chop them quite small, 1/2 small red onion, thinly sliced or chopped, and the key to this salad is some fresh mint, cleaned and chopped finely, and a handful of fresh coriander. Combine it all together, and there you have a delicious salad. I top it with 4 tablespoons of toasted pine nuts and a good crumbling of feta cheese. So delicious. If you're obviously having a meat meal and you'd want to keep it pariv, leave out the cheese, but it just adds a delicious flavor to the salad. For the dressing, it's so simple. A tablespoon of Dijon mustard, 4 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. And again, I always use the extra virgin olive oil for my salad dressings and regular olive oil when I'm cooking. 1 heaped tablespoon of honey. You can use the date honey if you prefer. Some minced garlic or chopped garlic. I love to use a fresh garlic clove that I've just minced right then and there. 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt and 1/4 teaspoon of ground pepper. I use the coarse black pepper, which I prefer, but you can use ground pepper. Toss it all together, combine it, and there you have a delicious meal for a weekday, a salad with a warm loaf of bread, too delicious for words.
Whether you are halashing for halas or wanting to braai or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bargatti. It's all about the food.
I have such a special guest that I'm connecting to today. Her name is Lisa Endy. Maybe some of you already follow her on Instagram. Her tagline is taking food further. And wow, she really does take food further. She's based in Los Angeles, ex-South African. So she appreciates our food and our functions. And she loves when she comes home to home base for some South African flavors and tastes. I recently had the beautiful privilege of working with her for a Friday night for a family member. We had great fun amid the storming South African Johannesburg rainy season. I will never forget that night, Lisa. Welcome to my show.
Thanks so much for having me, Dee. Such a pleasure to be with you. And oh my gosh, you are the queen.
Hardly the queen, but I just, one of the things that I wanted to stress to people, because I think entertaining can bring with it such stresses for people, maybe to me and you and people who in the industry, it comes a bit easier, but people stress. And if I take that night as an example, I think we moved tables and chairs in 3 times. We had to switch tablecloths. We had to turn things around and it all worked. And I always try and stress that to my customers and friends. Don't get hysterical. Things work out.
They always do. They always, always, always do. It just, you know. And your guests honestly don't care. You know, you're the only person that's really stressing out, but your guests are just happy to come and be invited and they go along with the ride. So, sure. Yeah, don't stress.
So tell me, what functions have you been doing in Los Angeles? And I just wanted to get your take on what trends are on the other side of the world and what people are wanting and eating and the type of functions that you've been doing.
Yesterday I did a big brunch. There was like some delegation out here and the whole Secret Service was here. It was kind of bizarre, but every day is a different, it's different, but it's the same, if you know what I mean. Like mm-hmm. we're, different clients, different events, but at the end of the day, it's about putting out a beautiful array and spread of food, of ingredients.
For sure.
Everything's always fresh. I try not to repeat any kind of ingredient in my repertoire. So everything is colorful and abundant, just the same way that you do it, Dee. And just making it, a great experience for the clients, the clients' guests. Yes. And as you mentioned, we're now heading into spring, even though the weather's terrible over here right now.
Uh-huh.
But I always like to use what's fresh, what's in season.
So give us one example of something that you did yesterday that maybe you hadn't done before, or something just unusual or something different on your menu.
So the thing is that, as you mentioned, my tagline is taking food further. And so even though the core of the menu item might be the same, it is serving it differently, garnishing it differently, seasoning it differently. Because at the end of the day, you've still got the same ingredients. Do you know what I mean? There isn't like a whole brand new vegetable that just grew up from the earth and I mean, vegetables definitely have evolved.
For sure.
I did a great cauliflower dish yesterday that I seasoned differently with turmeric and paprika and toasted some chickpeas with that and added some nuts. So it's just about, like, as your tagline is, you're in building flavors, it's just about building flavors
for sure
of I mean, back in the day, cauliflower was just like boiled and
For
gross,
sure.
you know. Now it's like the most trending item.
All over the world, in
So,
fact, yeah. I know my first
those are
introduction to the more gourmet kind of cauliflower was Miznon in Israel. I'm sure you know Eyal
correct.
Sheni. He's one of my favorite chefs. So innovative, but so simple. And I think when people sit with me and we start planning a function, I think people want different. And I always say a burger is a burger and a prego is a prego and a piece of meat is a piece of meat, but it's how you present it and, as you say, what you add to it.
And so I know, like, we kind of have been, you know, trying to, talk a little bit about, you know, entertaining and doing kind of things differently and moving into, you guys are going into fall. My background here, when I came to live in the States, I worked in a food service marketing agency. Even though, like, I've always kind of been in food, but like, this took me to the back end of food, of like, train, you see the trends in food, you see, like, and so I think like one of the trend in food is that, you know, gone are the days where you go to a, you know, a function, a bar mitzvah or a wedding or dinner or whatever it is, that you go sit down at a table and you're given a plate of food and you go, that is your dinner. Because people don't want to eat like that anymore. They really don't. They want to go and they want to say, okay, that's the hamburger or that's the prego roll that I'm getting. But you know what? I want caramelized onions on there, and I want some arugula on there, and maybe I want pickled red onions on there, and maybe I want mushrooms, maybe I want the sauce. They want options. They want the options of being involved and enrolled in that burger or that prego roll that they're going to eat.
You're right. You're right.
So I'm very much about like creating a kind of a build your own situation where you can elevate whatever kind of dish that you're serving or whatever kind of menu that you're proposing to your client, whether it be, you know, let's just do a burger bar, you know, let's have a chicken curry and a lamb curry, and on the side we're going to have different kinds of rices. You
For
can have a
sure.
regular rice, black rice, you
Nice.
can do a cauliflower rice, you can have all the different toppings and chutneys in beautiful bowls. I mean, you know, present people eat with their eyes
For
and
sure.
presentation is key. Over here, like I've done a chili bar. I don't, you know, where you do basically chili is just like, in the beginning I was like, what? It's just like bolognese-ish kind of thing. It's just a spicy kind of bolognese, but you know, you do like different kinds of chilies. You could do a meat chili and a turkey chili, and then you're adding, you know,
Wow, that's
again, the
interesting.
topping that people can put in, you know, scallions and avocado and tortilla chips, and then they can just make themselves a little situation of this, and then they can go back and they want a little bit more, they can go get a little bit more. So that's what I'm finding is really the trend that people are wanting. They're
To be
wanting
involved, like
to
involvement.
be involved, to have a smaller, not like this whole big plate of food. They just want like a little bite of something. And just the, like I'm sure you've seen, like the emphasis is on like presenting it what
For
nicely,
sure.
giving nice, you know, drinks again that people can be like, I want a gin and tonic and I want to put a cucumber in it. Maybe I want an orange. Maybe I want, you know.
So it's all about
So
options.
it is about options and enrollment and not saying, here's your steak. There's
Eat
two
it.
asparagus and three carrots. Goodbye. It's not even that hot. And enjoy your meal. Nobody wants to eat like that anymore.
Sure, I agree with you. I agree with you. And I mean, we do often get the call for plated or family dining, but for me, diversity and variety and also styling. You can never style that the way you can style a beautiful buffet or the way you can make a table, enhance a table with vegetables and herbs and little touches, you know?
Oh yeah, I do like family style. I do like family style where you put like some plates down the center of the table, and it also evokes involvement, conversation, you know, but it has to be the right amount of people
For
at a
sure.
dinner party, or the function has to be, you know, lend itself to that kind of evening where, you know, it can almost be like a progressive kind of dinner where you're sitting down, you know, you get some salads, you help yourself to that. You want a little bit more tomato burrata, then you have something else, and then you keep adding on dishes onto the table. And I'm sure that you, as a bystander watching the evening unfold and the conversation and the laughter. It's always just a magical night.
For sure.
You know, when you see these things, it just works.
For sure.
You know.
Have you seen changes in the food industries in the last few years? Like, are there very definite changes that you've noticed, or you think things just evolve so they kind of stay the same but they evolve into another form? Or do you think that some things are just a no-no from a few years ago?
I mean, like, yes and no. Like I said, like, people don't want, you know, they don't need to have a whole
huge
they don't need to
plate of
have
food.
A whole. I think appetizers are really big. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, past appetizers, people can go and have, you know, some drinks and some appetizers, a little dessert, and then they're done. They don't need, I feel like people don't eat as much as they used to, is
mm-hmm.
what I think,
and
you know.
Do you think, I mean,
especially
based in LA, do you think,
pardon?
I said based in LA, do you think, is there more of a emphasis on health, or do you think that if you give somebody something delicious, they'll eat it anyway?
I think there's definitely especially my kind of clientele, it's definitely what they love the most about my food is that it's clean and it's healthy, it's delicious, but it's you know, I source the best ingredients. People always ask me, where do you get this and where do you get that?
Mm.
And somebody asked me the other day, is your beef, do you only use grass-fed beef? And I looked at them and I was like, no, I don't even buy that grass-fed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll use it like if it's for 10 people, but I definitely, if you want to pay so much money for it,
yeah.
But I definitely, it's about, you know, using, you know, good ingredients.
For
you
sure.
know, I try use only organic produce.
That's great.
Making your own dressings.
For sure.
Not using bad oils.
For me, dressing is a huge thing.
Yeah.
It can make or break the meal. In fact, sometimes I say, and that's why I always say, a side dish can just elevate the whole meal or the whole function, because you can just do meat on the barbecue or braai, and it can be simply marinated with just salt, pepper, and a rub. And yet, if you do a beautiful salad with a dressing or some different vegetables, it just elevates the whole experience.
Totally. And then you don't need anything else, you
For
know.
Sure.
Sometimes people go, and what else can I put? What else?
Yeah.
I look at the menu, I go, well, we've got this and you got that. And you go, I was like, it's enough. Don't just put stuff just
For
to
sure.
put stuff.
Yeah.
And also, I don't like to repeat an ingredient, you know, so because it just becomes redundant.
For
and
sure.
I was in South Africa, like you said, at the beginning, you know, at the beginning of the year, and food is so expensive. Everything is so expensive.
For sure.
It's expensive, and then it's just a waste.
I've definitely seen a trend in people trying to slim and pare down menus, cost-wise also. And you have to just be more inventive with what you can offer. And as you say,
yeah.
make it look amazing. And I always try, like if I do a harvest table and I've got lots of vegetables for decor, then I always try and use those vegetables to make a soup or a pasta or a stew
right.
or something, so that nothing really goes to waste, you know?
Right, exactly.
So let me ask you the million-dollar question. What is your favorite food when you looking for comfort and family dining for your own family? What is your go-to?
Like, people say to me, what's your best thing to eat? Like, when you go out, like, what's your best? And I was like, oh my gosh, you can give me a good pizza in any day.
For sure.
You know, and a salad. Because, like, even though, like, I have a pizza oven, whatever, it's like, I don't make pizza like the way that, like, a real Italian makes pizza.
For sure. Me too.
So I would definitely, that's like my go-to would be like when I'm not working. And I have some time off. My husband and I was like, let's just go grab a pizza,
mm-hmm.
like some salad, a glass of wine, and I'm good to go. I've had the best night ever.
Me too.
I don't need fancy.
Even a focaccia with salad is my best.
Right. Delicious.
Anything else to share with us?
You guys are doing it right. I think, like, honestly, every time I come back from South Africa and Australia, like, because, you know, all South Africans are in Australia, I think you guys are so food forward. I think you guys don't even realize how ahead you are of the game in the food industry. Like,
oh, that's so good to
from
hear.
Functions that you do, from the cafes that you have in South Africa. Like, we don't have anything like that here.
Yeah,
people
with
go,
you.
Why aren't there tashas here? Why?
Yeah.
Every coffee shop you walk into in South Africa, every restaurant is just beautifully appointed. Done out beautifully, the olive and plates. I mean, like, just gorgeous. You guys are definitely doing it right. You going to Woolworths food. I mean, when I come home, all I want to do is just walk around Woolies
For
food
sure.
and go to places. So
I agree with that. I say, I mean, wherever I go, I always come home and I say, we're so lucky and I'm so grateful for what we do have here.
You do.
Great.
You do.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me,
In your
Dee.
Early morning.
Pleasure.
Thanks for chatting. That's Lisa Ende from Los Angeles. Please follow her on her Instagram. She has beautiful ideas and amazing tables that you will just gasp at. Taking food further is what she's all about. Thank you, Lisa.
Whether you are halashing for halas or wanting to bry or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bogarty. It's all about the food.
We're talking winter comfort food and our favorite flavors. We've been talking to Lisa Ende, who I had the privilege of working with here in Johannesburg, a wonderful chef, and her design and table layouts are just beautiful to see. And it's great to be appreciated by someone like that. We worked so well together when she was here. So we're talking how to elevate a table and how to elevate a meal. And for me, it's always keeping certain things just simple. A roast chicken just rubbed with some lemon, olive oil, garlic, some rosemary, just delicious. A piece of meat on the braai, you can rub it before with some coarse pepper, some molten salt. You can do a coffee rub or a barbecue rub, a bit of olive oil. I love to stab my piece of meat and just get the garlic cloves into the little crevices, braai it. And with that, if you elevate it just with something delicious, it just gives such much a new dimension, a whole new dimension to your table. So I'm going to share with you just a few easy peasy side dishes. And we've got so many vegetables available. Winter, we have beautiful produce available to us. So some garlic herb sautéed zucchini. I found this on Instagram and I've been doing it and it's just so delicious. So what you do is you take 2 packets of zucchini. You have some molten salt on hand or any coarse salt, olive oil, basil, mint, walnuts, some red wine vinegar, some chopped capers, garlic, and chili flakes. And what we do is I kind of cut the zucchini into rounds and I caramelize them in a bit of olive oil. I add the salt and pepper, a bit of the punchy garlic, and some fresh herbs. And to that, when it's just cooked and just soft enough but not too mushy, I add a little bit of vinegar, the capers, some chili flakes, and some torn fresh mint. And that is just a delightful side dish. So my emphasis is on just bringing something new to your table when you're serving something plain. So you can have hamburgers and do with that some delicious caramelized onions. I use caramelized onions a fortune. I love to top different foods with them. So my very simple recipe is 1 packet of baby onions or the big white onions, whichever you wish. I even caramelize red onions a lot, which is a different taste and suitable for different things, but just easy to always have caramelized onions on hand. With that, I like to combine 3 tablespoons of cardamom or any powder of margarine and 3 tablespoons of olive oil. So I like the combination and I like to keep it powder. If you're doing a milk meal, you can just use butter, which of course is much more decadent and rich. But again, I keep it on hand powder. 2 teaspoons of brown sugar. I like to use the brown sugar. I place the onions in boiling water for 5 minutes, remove from the water and quickly peel off their skins. The skin just comes off so easily. Melt your butter and oil in the frying pan. Let it just start getting a little bit hot. Place your onions in the pan and gently saute on a low heat. I do this for a long time, at least 20 to 30 minutes. And towards the end of the process, I add the brown sugar. Then you've always got something delicious on hand. You can add it to meat, to fish, to a burger. I love caramelized onions on burgers. And the baby onions, even left whole, are so delightful on a salad platter, on the side of a salad platter. Talking about that, I've been doing a lot of like deconstructed salads and I find that people love that also. So we talk about these things and they're so simple, but just so effective. A beautiful bowl or flat platter with a bit of a lip or even a piece of glass. And you can add to that your corn, some rocket piled on the side, a handful of basil, tomatoes, carrots, cucumbers, simple vegetables, and add any delicious dressing to that. We have so many dressings so easily available. I'm going to share with you another quick and easy vinaigrette. 1/3 cup olive oil, 1/3 cup lemon juice, 2 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, 2 tablespoons of fresh parsley, which I chop, 2 tablespoons of dill, which I chop, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and I like to use the molten salt in my dressings, and 1/4 teaspoon of coarse black pepper. You can add a dash of honey and a dash of red wine vinegar, or you can use any vinegar you have, or even a balsamic glaze, and that'll become a delicious vinaigrette. And I just spoon that over a deconstructed salad, and it looks beautiful. What I do is I generally keep everything raw, but the corn, the baby corn, I love to just place in a pan, griddle with a bit of dukkha or any kind of rub that I have on hand. Really, you can take mixed herbs, anything that you have on hand, even a potato spice, and it just gives it that Cajun kind of deeply tinged kind of burnt corn. And that's what I mean by adding just one extra something delicious to your table. And it looks like you've made an effort, which you have, and it just adds something beautiful and colorful to your dish. The other thing I'm going to share with you is roast stuffed tomatoes, which sounds much more complicated than what it is. And again, you can use this as a meat dish or you can use this as a milk dish. I love to use tomatoes. We've got such beautiful tomatoes available. So I buy the biggest and firmest tomatoes I can find, but not too green, but not too soft. So they've got to be just right. I find the salad tomatoes aren't perfect for this dish. So just regular tomatoes from your greengrocer or any of the grocery stores. So let's say we're using 6 large tomatoes, some molten salt or any coarse salt, 1 cup of cottage cheese. So there you can use a chunky cheese or a smooth cheese. And to that, I love to mix with that 1/2 cup of grated Parmesan cheese and 2 heaped spoons of ricotta. So you're making like a delicious cheesy mixture. To that, I add 2 tablespoons of finely chopped fresh parsley, some garlic, 1 teaspoon of grated lemon zest, some cracked black pepper, and some red chili flakes or a smoky paprika or anything red. 1/4 cup of panko breadcrumbs, and yay, we do have panko available here, and I have been using them a fortune, and they're just wonderful. They're delicious to crumb schnitzels or fish or in a dish like this. I even use it on top of my melanzani when I make it, and it's so amazing that we finally got panko, kosher panko breadcrumbs available. And don't forget your tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil. So here I slice the tops of the tomatoes just enough to remove the stem and expose the tomato inside. Then using a spoon or a scoop, scoop out all the seeds and place them on the side. I then take the tomatoes that I've removed and I mix it together with the cheeses. Refill it back into your tomato and bake it in an oven. Put a little bit of olive oil or Napolitana sauce or just on a piece of parchment paper at the bottom. And there you have, let it bake for about 30 minutes and you have the most delicious stuffed tomatoes. And you can use the same concept for meat. So often I use rice and some mince and I add to that the panko breadcrumbs, the fresh parsley, the grated lemon, the pepper, the red chili flakes or paprika. You just use your imagination and make different fillings and stuff your tomatoes. It's a showstopper. It looks like you've made an effort, and you have, as I've repeated. And it just adds a dimension to your table when you've just got something simple on the side, like a piece of grilled hake or a piece of fried fish. Or if you're going for the meat version and you want to do the parve, you can do the mince. Or just if you want to leave out the mince and keep it completely parve, use your rice with your parsley and your lemon and the panko breadcrumbs and stuff your tomatoes with that. And wow, it's just the most delicious side dish. Elevating our table offering with just something delicious. And when I think of delicious, I often think of Sarit Krengel. Welcome to our show, Sarit.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so lovely to talk to you.
Thanks for being with us. I know your business is called Biscuit by Design, but I think you are a lot more than just biscuits. You make delicious bulkers, cakes, show-stopping, delicious chocolate brownies and everything else that's sweet and wonderful. So before we get ahead and talk about your favorite tastes, I just want to ask how you started, how you've seen the industry evolve and what you love about what you do.
Okay, so I started my business more with the decorated biscuits, those intricate decorated biscuits that you see at weddings and bat mitzvahs and bar mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. And I think that started when my kids were young and I started doing their birthday parties and got carried away with their birthday parties. And that's how kind of the business started. And people started contacting me and it grew from there.
And then I went into what I kind of call edible art for kids.
Oh, wow.
So anything nice kids can paint, and decorate themselves.
Okay.
So that took off really, really nicely. And it's the little paint your own biscuits where it looks like it's got a row of colored Smarties for all intents and purposes, but they're not Smarties. It's colored icing, and it comes with your paintbrush and a little picture to paint. And that's what the kids do, or the Paint Me, Eat Me boxes, where they, in all different themes, boys, girls, forest fantasy, wild animals, and the kids get to paint and decorate those biscuits.
Okay. And so do you sell those as kits? You sell that as a kit, or how do you get that?
So we sell those as kits. They can be specifically designed for a function or for a party, in the theme of the party. That's how things started, but it's evolved a lot since then.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving much more towards the artisanal baking and the bespoke cakes and biscuits and cookies and stuff like that.
Wow. So are you not really trained then? You actually self-taught?
Yeah. Kind of.
Oh, that's amazing.
And sometimes it shows.
No, it shows with all of us. But I think that's a great. I also started just doing kids' parties, getting a bit carried away, and then people starting to order one or two things. And here we are, 25 years later. I always read within the business arena, people say, they always used to say, follow your passion. And then it got turned on its head and someone said, no, don't follow your passion. Find what you're really good at and make that your passion. And for me, I always think of that because I was in a completely different industry and I just got into food completely accidentally as such, but I've loved every minute of it. And it was something that was within me and that came without, you know? So I think for you then it's the same.
Yeah, so I was also in a completely different industry. And yeah, and then this just kind of took a life of its own.
For sure.
Which I'm very grateful for.
Have you seen changes in the industry? Have you seen things evolve? Have you seen tastes change? Or are things really much the same?
So, coming as baking, which I'm obsessed with cream and butter, mm-hmm. I think everything needs to have cream and butter, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, recently I was actually at Karma's Market and I have a lot of people coming past my store, which I think look delicious and, luscious and full with
and decadent,
anything good.
Yeah.
I think anything good. And is it gluten-free? No. Is it sugar-free?
Yeah.
No. So I think there's an interesting trend to going healthy. I think people are looking to go healthy. So there's like a bit of a balance on how to navigate delicious, yummy food and still making it healthy food.
I have to say, sometimes I disagree with that. I think if you want to be healthy, you have to give up on a bit of taste sometimes. I think with food, it's easier to be healthy. You can have clean vegetables and clean kind of protein. But I think with baking, wow, just go the whole hog. If you're going to do it, eat butter and cream, you know?
That's what I think so. That's what I think. So when people come to my stand asking, do you have a sugar-free alternative or a gluten-free alternative? I'm like, no. This is how it comes.
I've got a sign in my shop that says.
I do get asked that a lot.
Yeah, I've got a sign in my shop that says, "Do you have anything that's gluten free, butter free, dairy free, fat free?" And the answer is yes, a napkin.
Exactly.
So, and I just find that, especially at functions, I think people are prepared to indulge. People watch themselves during the week and even sometimes on weekends. But if they know they're going to an event, you want to indulge, you want to enjoy, you want to just have that delicious taste. So for me, I just feel I'd rather give people delicious if they don't want to accept it. Well,
so let me ask you something.
Mm.
Because I feel sometimes, like for me, because I'm a dessert person, I can, as when my kids were younger, it was like, let's start with dessert and we'll work our way up to the main course kind of a thing. I feel that sometimes dessert's lacking after a meal. I think people are that's my feeling. I think people are losing out and missing out on such delicious desserts. Like, I'll bring out a fruit platter.
I agree with you. And, when I sit with people and we're planning a function and they say, I don't want dessert, just fruit and one
and
other option.
And people don't eat dessert.
But they do. That's my whole point. Mm. And my point is, even I always say at every function I do, all my hot chips get finished. Because if you give someone something delicious, they will forgo something the next day, or they will just break their little diet, or they will know that it's not the healthiest option, but they'll indulge in something delicious. Every function, all my hot chips are gone. Every function, dessert gets eaten.
So I'll tell you, it was very, for me, so as I said, I was just at the Commerce Market, and I've got this range of New York style gourmet biscuits. They're the most decadent, delicious
I saw
cookie.
Them and I tasted them and they were absolutely deliciously decadently divine.
It's not a biscuit, it's a cookie. It's this thick, I mean, you break it up inside, it's like hazelnut Nutella and the Nutella's oozing out, or a red velvet and cream cheese. And everyone, I mean, people were loving them, and the old, the young, the thin, they're like everyone. So maybe there is still a place for delicious yummy food.
I think there is. And I think life has become a balance of so many different emotions and so many different disciplines. And I think that we all have to do, we have to indulge sometimes in something. Otherwise, really, there's just no point. So did your biscuits, they had a good reception yesterday where I saw you at the Carmen's Market?
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, people love them. I mean, they really are delicious. They just, yeah, it's more than just a cookie. They're really delicious. And what's also amazing about them, I've started the range where literally from the freezer to the oven, you can bake the exact same cookie yourself.
Delicious. What a brilliant concept.
I'm telling you, even the frozen concept, yeah. So it's really been beautifully received. So I'm
That's
very
so
grateful.
Good. So what's your favorite dessert? Share with us, or your favorite cake.
Okay, so I have a favorite cake at the moment. It's a coconut cream cake. I'm a coconut fan.
Okay.
So I know coconut's not everyone's thing, but for me, it's this light and fluffy, and the cream cheese icing's got like this tinge of coconut in it, and it's covered in coconut flakes. It's a dream, because the cake is light and fluffy, and you like feel like it's not too much to eat, so you can actually eat more and more and more, and then the cream cheese icing just takes it to another level.
So it's obviously a milk dessert.
It's a milk dessert. But I know when you were talking about your easy meals, because I've got a great, lovely pair of dessert, which I often make.
Will you share with us, please?
Yeah, I'll share it with you. And it's like my go-to when I'm running out of time, actually. It's a maple cake, and I actually got it from a dear friend of mine, Nadine. I'm sure she won't mind me sharing it. It's the most delicious cake. Do you want the recipe now?
Would love it.
Okay, so it's literally... And you, it's a one bowl cake.
Oh, that's my best.
I serve it as a hot dessert. So it's a one bowl cake. It's one and a half cups of self-raising flour, one and a half cups of sugar, one cup of oil, half a cup of orange juice, one packet of vanilla pudding, four eggs, and then you throw on flaked almonds. And when it comes out of the oven, you put on about half a bottle of maple syrup.
Oh, delicious.
It's really yum.
And I discovered recently at Woolworths that pure Canadian maple syrup. Someone actually requested that I only use that at a function and not use any other syrup. So I bought it, and it was a little bit expensive, but absolutely delicious. And you can taste the kind of, it takes you back into the heart of that maple-y taste. It's really something to investigate, a delicious maple syrup.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I'm going to ask you to send me that recipe so that I can put it on my Instagram later and people can then enjoy it. And it sounds so easy. I love one bowl cakes. I know a while ago I shared it comes up on Instagram all the time. They say every French child from the age of 3 knows how to make, it's a yogurt cake. And again, you use the tub of yogurt and then you measure everything with that little tub, your 250ml tub. So it's the flour, the sugar, the oil, everything from that tub. So you're not even making any mess in your kitchen. And it's so easy. I've been doing it like weekly. If anyone wants that recipe, I'll post that again. I'm happy to share it.
Because I'm a very, very messy cook.
Me too. In fact, my book, when it eventually comes out, is called The Very Messy Cook.
Yeah, well, I get that.
I get into the kitchen at my shop, my staff roll their eyes. They're used to me by now, but they all neat, and I've taught them correctly how to keep that cloth on hand and keep wiping. But wow, I'm messy too. I think it adds to the deliciousness of what we do. Thank you, Sarit. Thank you for sharing. That was Sarit Krengel of Biscuit by Design. Check out her delicious new chip and decadent cookies. I sneaked in quite a couple of tastes yesterday, and they were quite delightful. Thank you for being on our show.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Cheers.
Whether you are halashing for halas or wanting to braai or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bargatti. It's all about the food.
So there we have it. We've spoken to two foodies in different places of the world and with different histories. But I think our focus being foodies in our industries is just loving what we do and the passion and the flavor. And I think for me, it's all about hospitality and watching people enjoy. So whether it's two people or three or a crowd of 10 or 20 or 300, I think the principle is the same. And food really is taking something basic and something that we need to survive and just elevating it to a place of connection. So I'm going to, I just want to share with you this little excerpt from a book. It's called The Wind Up Bird Chronicle, and it's by Murakami. And he gives such simple descriptions of sustenance and food. And one of the lines that he says is, "Not that I had any great feast in mind. I would be stir frying thin slices of beef, onions, green peppers and bean sprouts with a little salt, pepper, soy sauce and a splash of beer, a recipe from my single days. The rice was done, the miso soup was warm and the vegetables were all sliced and arranged in separate piles in a large dish ready for the wok." And that's how the scene ends. And I just love how these scenes of food show up so repeatedly in his work. And for me, and that's what he's creating, is he's taking the mundane and the basic and elevating it to something magical and delicious. So my message is always just enjoy having people and enjoy every meal with your family and your friends, and can be with two people, and just indulge in the conversation and connection. And that's really what it's all about. Have a beautiful week ahead.